Warning, the following podcast may contain language that some listeners may find offensive or confusing or intriguing. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the 3v3 podcast, your socially distanced hockey chat show. Here are your hosts, Cassie, Pat, and Patrick.
So which fan base is going to be more annoying when they reach the Western Conference Final? Vancouver or Edmonton? And why will it be Vancouver?
Oh, it's Vancouver's fan base is always going to be the most annoying.
See, the thing is, Edmonton's fan base is okay. Their media is annoying.
Thank you. I was going to say it's Vancouver fans versus Edmonton press.
Media, yeah. Which one of the two of those is going to... Because Vancouver media is good, by and large. You know, every media base has its outliers, but... Edmonton is like the inverse, right, of that. There have some good outliers, but yeah. So it's by far and away. Are you talking Boston or New England?
In some people's minds, it's the same. So I guess both.
when you get outside of the Boston media market itself and into the outlying New England market, it gets better.
Does it though?
To a certain degree. Well, I mean, it's sort of like being Philly right next to New York, right? Or Jersey, which is effectively right next to New York, right? You got to get far enough away from the overlap of noise because they all have to do something to stand out in the crowd.
Hey, it's Wacky Morning Crew.
Yeah, no.
We have the hottest sport takes on this side of the Potomac.
Mm-hmm. I am not ready for a Vancouver-Edmonton like series, so someone needs to stop that.
I've already done what I could, Cassie, and Nashville couldn't do it.
They tried their darndest.
Yeah,
they really did.
That power is only available to me once every 27 days.
Let's not get into that discussion. Because men have a cycle too, you know. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I know. I would apologize, but I don't want to. Because I did it intentionally.
Poking the bear.
Oh, me? Never. The sneakiest trade that I think... Well, I mentioned this in our chat, and you guys will know where I'm going. The sneakiest trade, I think, that kind of went unheralded, and I can't believe I get to, I have to do this for Ken Holland, was Adam Henrique. That has given the Oilers extra pop down on the bottom six, and a guy that can move around in the lineup, because you know you're not going to get scoring from him. Really. You know, not at the pace of Draisaitl or McDavid, but you're going to get a player that knows how to play with a Draisaitl and McDavid style. Which I think, you know, as everybody's pointed out over the years, is something that they have severely lacked. Because it certainly wasn't Evander Kane.
Anything can work for a couple of weeks, but... It was never a permanent solution.
Plus, now you also have another guy that's annoying in front of the net that you can put out on another power play, which maybe opens a little bit more space for Hyman, as we've seen. You know, so the blind squirrel finds a nut. And yes, Ken Holland is the blind squirrel in this analogy, not the nut.
I'm just trying to think who is the nut because there are so many candidates.
Arc Spectre.
I guess it depends on what variety of net you're talking about. Because there are many varieties.
Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to walk away from this one.
Just walk away. Hello, sir stroke madam. Fire! Exclamation mark.
Speaking of walking away, boy, do I hope Mark Stone can just walk away from this game one day. With all the injuries he's put up with. Because holy cow, is he putting on a performance. The man lost a spleen.
So did Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Here's the difference, Cassie. Mm-hmm. He's not Peter Forsberg.
No, well, we know that, Pat.
He's not. He's nowhere near as good, but to come back this quickly, because he's not that cerebral a player, but he is similar to an Adam Henrik. He just plays a certain way that lends itself to playing the same team over and over again, where he's going to pick up on all your mistakes and he's going to capitalize. He's not going to be that flashy in the regular season. He's not going to he's not going to be deserving of any postseason awards for the regular season. Why we call them postseason awards is beyond me.
Because they're awarded after the season, but that's okay.
Is it though?
Otherwise, it'd be in-season awards. Yes, I will now shove my glasses upon my nose higher and go,
pedantic.
Yeah, but you guys are soccer engineers and I'm a cartographer, so we're supposed to be pedantic. That's our job.
Damn, Skippy.
You know it.
When you say you hope he's able to walk away from this game one day, do you think that one day might be the end of this season?
I would not be surprised.
Gotta hope, man.
I'll be shocked if Vegas loses. So for those in the know, we are actually recording on Saturday, so we get to avoid the Leafs eulogy tomorrow.
Gonna do it.
Hooray to us.
I'm gonna do it.
You know,
to tempt fate.
Oh, you know. God, you had to say the words. You had to say the words.
You knew it. It's
witch.
Almost unavoidable. Will I float?
He's floating.
Use your power for good.
Well, this is good.
So game 7 will be a little over 24 hours from when we're recording. If Vegas were to lose, I'm not sure it's the end for Stone.
Yeah,
I don't see Vegas surviving making it to the Cup final this season. Given Colorado's fully intact at the moment. Edmonton seems like a team that could really, really hurt you in the conference finals. Vancouver, I don't know what to make of them. I think Mark Stone will return.
Well.
But will he get the, say, Landeskog treatment?
Because
who knows what else is ailing him besides the obvious.
So at the end of this season, he has 2 years left on 9.5 AAV. Given his predilection, does he now become an LTIR candidate? Does he Chris Pronger at the end of his career?
Probably.
Does he Shea Weber?
Yeah, or Shea Weber. That better one. Or Carey Price.
Utah's future Hockey Hall of Famer, Shea Weber.
God, that's right. I hope they raise a banner to him in the rafters in Utah. They should have done one for Pronger, one for Doc.
Just make sure it's the first game is against Nashville, just to rub it in their noses. Because it'd be funny.
And speaking of Utah, we posed some interesting, I want to close the loop on this because I had posited in our post podcast chat about some suspicions I had of Mr. Morello's plans. And boy, the NHL really locked him in. He is unable to sell the team for 5 years after it's been reactivated. If it gets reactivated. So he has to be there for 5 years. So he can't just flip it and turn a profit. Except he'll turn a profit in 5 more years. So, because he'll have a fully fledged land deal in place. He also cannot onboard any other partners above a 20% stake in ownership, which I thought was interesting. So they really are, I think they really did saddle him with like, okay, you put it here, here's your way to get out, but you're going to own getting out of it.
So Gary really put his lawyering power to good use.
Yeah.
During that whole negotiation.
I think they said, okay, you know, because the end of that one article where they talked to somebody from the Coyotes organization said it was like when a teenager wrecks his car and gets rewarded with a Ferrari, that's kind of what happened to Morello. Mm-hmm. You know, he just drove it into the ditch and got this sweetheart of a deal effectively.
So you're saying there's a problem with Ferraris in the NHL?
Oh God, we're back on Ferraris.
It didn't take long for me to start posting Ferraris on fire pictures. Because first of all, there are a lot of pictures of Ferraris on fire on the internet. But just the absurdity of that comment to me was like, you know, Ferraris are like the Hannibal Lecters of sports cars. You can barely drive them because they're so prone to issues. And you'll never get to use them at full tilt unless you go to a track. And then most of the people that own the Ferraris are not qualified to drive their Ferraris at a track. So what are you going to expect is going to happen? Oh, that's just, yeah.
Plus it's like how Mercedes and BMW are the Ford and Chevy of like the next economic level.
Does that make Audi Dodge?
Chrysler Dodge, yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A little bit more rebellious, even though it's really the inverse with Audi. They're actually less rebellious than BMW and Mercedes.
Wow. Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Ferraris. Who is Mark Spector going to pick a
fight with?
Oh, in Vancouver?
Yeah. Spec has a tendency to pick a fight with his stupidity.
So long as they don't work for Sportsnet.
Oh, very true.
That's the one place he won't go.
God, and that's going to make it impossible because they're both Rogers-based teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, so his pool of potential targets is drying up. It's like a little Vancouver puddle.
I don't know that anyone in Vancouver would like give him the satisfaction anyway, though.
Oh, they don't have to return fire, Cassie. He just lobs flaming excrement over to them. And hopes that they start something. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he just keeps doing it. Man, that's going to be a tough one. And I'm done thinking about it. All right.
I mean, my first thought was Helford or Broff, you know, the old curtain bloggers, but I honestly don't know if they still work for Sportsnet or not. I think so.
Question mark?
I mean, it is Canadian radio, so... Ooh. Yeah, it looks like they still are.
Yeah, so no way.
But that would be my first answer.
But that's just assuming he realizes that they do because they are in radio.
Yeah, but Vancouver radio is, I don't know. I have a lot of friends in other markets that like listening to Vancouver radio because it isn't shocky.
Right.
Vancouver sports radio, I should say.
So the answer is probably Thomas Drance.
Well, yeah, that's just a free square, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do miss the morning like traffic reports out of Vancouver when I lived in Bellingham, the other Bellingham, because there's a Bellingham here in Massachusetts. But because not only would they give you like where all the slowdowns were and everything, they'd also tell you where everybody was filming. So you could
have when every damn show was doing and every movie was being filmed in Vancouver.
Yeah. So like they would be part of the traffic reports. Oh, by the way, there's a film crew setting up on
X-Files.
Avoid that street.
X-Files is over down by Stanley Park.
No, they wouldn't tell you who it was. It would just tell you that there was something going on there. So that was always entertaining.
And there was much rejoicing in the Emerald City. There was much, much rejoicing in the Emerald City.
Yes.
How could we forget?
I was not going to let anyone forget. Nope. Nobody, nope. So much rejoicing. And Kristen Shelton is not someone I would say generally pulls things out of thin air and makes content. Quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe as a journalist in the sports field that she would go with statements indicating that some key players had said they would mutiny if Haxtell was coaching next year. Without validating, verifying, and ensuring, and maybe getting it from the horse's mouth itself.
Well, I noticed that I can mentally see his face, but I can't think of his name. One of the players was saying, well, the players wouldn't give ultimatums like that. And I'm like, well, there's not much difference between an ultimatum and just stating a fact, you know?
Yeah. An ultimatum is trade me. I'm not going to play here.
Do it or else.
If he's coaching. Yeah. Yeah.
And statement of fact is I am not happy and I am not planning on playing if that guy's still around.
Yeah, I don't want to be here if that guy's still around.
Right.
I'm gonna lean on the side of Shelton, definitely on this one. Mm-hmm. Because you know how we talked about how can you lose a room if you never had it? And everyone goes, oh, what about the, you know, they made the playoffs. Yeah, despite their coach.
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to, not because they were, like, trying to make their coach happy.
Yeah, it took, probably four guys having career seasons for them to get there.
And an unbelievable stretch of health.
Yeah, and it was, exactly, well, there's that too. And it wasn't like the team veered that far off course between last year and this year, right? As far as like players. I mean, a couple of key guys, you know, Wenberg, maybe. But you sit there and you look at the deployments Hackstall would have. And it's just like, does anybody think this guy's good? So I think that completely removes any Shane Wright discussion I would have.
I think it's fair to say, unless something drastic happens with his training this summer, he will be on the roster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He will not be seeing the AHL again unless it's conditioning. Thank you.
A recovery conditioning stint, yeah. We had discussed this sort of in our chat. And, you know, when Francis says we're going to begin our search for our coach immediately, I just wonder if that, I posed the hypothesis that I believe they're just waiting for Coachella Valley season to be done so they can name Bylsma. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, they're going to tell the press that they're going to start their search immediately, but.
And they may go through the motions of actually interviewing people and doing that, but they already know who they want to hire.
I'm pretty sure they do. And will he bring a member of his coaching staff up with him?
Or will she be promoted to head coach in the AHL?
This would also be worthwhile.
And given only one assistant coach was dismissed from the Kraken coaching staff, stands to reason probably the most qualified candidate to take over the head coaching position.
Because, I mean, we all want to see her coaching in the NHL, but at the same time, I'm like, I think I want to see her as a head coach. The first woman behind the bench as head coach of a professional men's hockey team would be a little bit more satisfying than having her be an assistant on the bench for an NHL team.
Well, how about they this is complete speculation. People were just wagging. She coaches at the NHL for 3 years as an assistant. And then they name her head coach in the AHL.
Maybe.
You know, just for her to get the experience at the NHL level and have, you know, just that extra runway before leading the bench on her own. Because that gives them an opportunity to promote somebody on the staff down there and then let them walk to go be an NHL head coach somewhere else. And then they have an opening down in the AHL.
And the her we're talking about is Jessica Campbell, for those who don't keep up on these things.
Yep, who was already the first women's assistant coach at IWHF men's championship a couple of years ago. Wait, you mean all our listeners aren't privy to the details of our group chat and don't know all these details already?
They just bug our recordings. They can't read the stuff that we write.
Come to think of it, I don't think any of us mentioned Jessica's name in the chat either.
No. But we knew exactly who we were talking about, exactly. So I would assume, you know, who's ever tapped the feed would know as well.
Yeah.
You have to spell everything out.
Yeah, you kind of have to say the words because people can't read your mind, you know.
There's an internet thing. They're listening to this thingy on the internet thingy. They can go search the internet thingy. Damn work on your own. Do everything for it.
Have you tried finding anything on Google lately? I mean, come on.
No, I've stopped doing that so long ago.
Good for you.
I use carrier pigeons. What are you kidding?
Good for you because it's bad. It's worse, I guess I should say. It's always been bad, but it's worse.
In what world? Okay, never mind. I just saw a question posed somewhere else, and I'm not going to bring it in here because it has been 4 shows since our last discussion about Western Washington geography.
Zebras. anyway.
I had so many texts from family who were like, guess you were right. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy how that happens more often than not. not that I'm, I'm kidding. It's hard for me to do massive amounts of rejoicing because of the way the Kings just poofed. And I had a warm, fuzzy feeling about them throughout most of the season and had really sort of hinted that their goaltending wasn't likely to be as big a problem as it could have been simply because they had a really good defense and much akin to Vegas, they just kind of throw some warm bodies in there that are capable of making some, I forgot about that. They got to make the stops. Now, not throwing Taubes under the bus completely because, you know, the 2 games he got rocked in, I don't think were all him. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what's the stupidest thing you can do when playing the Edmonton Oilers?
Take penalties.
Turn over the puck.
Yeah. Yeah. That power play is just, it's multiverse levels of, there isn't a multiverse that power play is not ridiculous in. So I'm just, you can't do it. And Vancouver might be walking into a minefield with that one because they've got some pretty slow people. So I expect there to be a few hooking, holding type things that they're just going to get eaten alive with. And again, without Demko, you know, the Silvos kid has looked good, but they've also, I mean, they also really tightened up in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I guess their defense is going to play outstanding now.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how much they're standing still.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last 2 games, Quinn Hughes has seemed to be the only defenseman who's moving at times. Where I was seeing, what's his partner's name? Philip Ronick, just kind of standing on the crease next to the goalie so often. That's not really going to work against Edmonton. So I'll be interested to see what Tocchet adjusts defensively between series.
I noticed after LA lost that there was a lot of finger pointing at PLD on Twitter.
Just at me, Cassie, okay?
No, it wasn't just you. I never saw anything that you had to say. I was like talking about everybody else.
Oh no, you said your piece many a times and just sat back and watched the reviews come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
it wasn't quite thrown under the bus, but there was a lot of finger pointing.
The guy is just three players, a second round draft pick, and $8.5 million. Just good God. Blake deserves to be canned just for that. Not for the playoff loss, but just for that. That move alone just tanked this. It put this season in an awful place and cost McClellan his job, honestly.
Mm-hmm. G- Gabe Vilardi, 5 games, 4 points for Winnipeg. PLD, I can't scroll that far down the list. Quentin Byfield, 4 points in 5 games. He looked fine.
He did. It was his first real playoff experience.
It wasn't the top 4 or 5 forwards on LA that kind of held them back.
He was not a hindrance.
No. He had a couple penalties, but
did he make mistakes?
Did the rest of the team.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Nobody plays, I hate this term, mistake-free hockey. Impossible. You mitigate mistakes when they happen. Sometimes you can't mitigate it if you're in the penalty box. That's fine. You know, that's the nature of the game. Be smarter. Okay. You'll still do it again. Because you don't have time to... You're not a Jedi. You can't see the future. So, you know, let it go.
People make mistakes.
I want to see something here. Oh, da, 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 da.
So while you're looking that up, presumably Blake will be given one last coaching hire. Because I don't see how you stick with this interim guy.
Well, you fired McClellan for what do you do? Hire Woodcroft?
I mean, it is just a game of musical chairs.
You don't really need to interview anyone at this point. Just like get an empty fishbowl full of names and like draw one out and hire them. You know, it's like this is what hockey has become.
Yeah, kind of like a coach lottery. You just put all their names inside of bingo balls and you swirl it around, and whoever rolls out is your next head coach.
It's the guy you make an offer to. Yeah, they don't have to like accept, but it's the guy you make an offer to, because they don't have the emotional intelligence to try to match up a coach with the style of play that most of their players have. So that's as good as anything.
Oh. One of the bad things about having a VPN sometimes is websites take forever to load because it is constantly blocking like every tracker and ad.
Well, part of that.
I'm sorry. Websites still work with a VPN.
Part Good of Lord. That too is everybody's jumped on the server you're on.
No, I actually have it set to load balance.
Okay.
You know what? I kind of mocked the idea. But now that I look at it, buying out PLD might not be a bad move. It takes his deal is up in the 30-31 season. The downside to the buyout would be that you are extending his cap hit until the 37-38 season. But that cap hit is $1.13 million.
All right, question. Is Mike Richards still on the books?
Actually, I don't think he is.
Okay, so this is palatable.
I think his deal dropped. I am double
checking. Oh, no. He is on the books until 28-29.
Fantastic.
And he's at $1 million. But he's at $1 million, though, isn't he?
No, it's...
that's right.
It's 700,000 the next season, and then 600,000 the following 4 seasons.
Okay, so it does drop precipitously to below standard intro contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Standard player contract.
Yeah. They're not paying any other buyouts, but they are retaining next season $2 million of Ivan Provorov's deal when he went from Philly to Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they laundered that, right?
Yeah.
So if you were to combine, so PLD has a spike up to $3 million in the last 4 years of his, what his deal would be, which is probably going to be what the cap goes up in those times or in those years anyway. Because on average, it's 3 to 5% an increase. You notice how they keep talking about there was going to be that one massive jump, and now that talk has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they don't want to inflate everything.
Yeah, he got most of his bonus money this season.
Yeah.
So.
Bonuses don't count against the cap.
Right, which is why his buyout hit. You know, they say it's buyout proof because of that, and I'm like, which is why his hit on his salary is only like 1.3, 1.3233, and then it drops back down to 1.1 all until the end of the buyout period. That's less than what you'd have to retain to have somebody trade for him. Because nobody's going to take him at 8 without you eating a substantial amount of money. Because he is not.
And that's going to have to be more than the two. There are going to be 3 terrible years where it's close to a $5 million hit. But it could be done.
Yeah, he flat out needs to go. And I think he needs to go to Europe. I think he needs to Alexander Dag his career. You know, like I said, I don't know him. I don't know what, if he's going through anything, you know, but this is not a good look for him.
Nope.
And you know, it's not all him, right? Obviously somebody puts an $8.5 million contract in front of my face, I'm signing it
immediately.
I'm not worth it. I'm terribly sorry. Jesus Christ, I'd leave skid marks, you know, flying over the desk to grab a pen.
See, I'm a little bit different, because I would be like, so how is this impacting the rest of the team, cap hit, because I don't want to hamper the team and bringing in better players? You know, that would be me, though.
But that really didn't hamper LA's roster this season. Because if you looked at it, they were able to, you know, fill in around the edges. They brought in Gavrikov on defense, who looked pretty good most of the season. The goaltending kind of worked itself out over time. I mean, they started out red hot, but there was just kind of a malaise from him that was, I don't know how many highlighters, I don't know how many spotlights you could put on it during the playoffs, but that's kind of when you need a second or third, a middle six forward to kind of make the leap and do some different things.
Yeah. Phil Deneau and Fiala were
injured.
Yeah. So they're, you know, they were mitigated, right?
Mm-hmm. So when Fiala goes down, when your top scoring winger goes down, it puts a little more on the centers. Well, Kopitar was fine.
Kempe was fine. You know, they're going to fight through matchups because now everybody knows that you got to just basically tighten up against Kopitar, Kempe, and Byfield. You know, and Doughty as the X factor isn't what he used to be, but he's still at X factor. I mean, he's still played
okay,
pretty damn well.
Yeah.
You know. I'll just remind everybody, Quentin Byfield is a 20-goal scorer in the NHL.
At 21 years old. I had a terrible thought in my head, and I'm not going to share it.
No, no. You're required to at this point.
Patrick?
That's okay.
When Sheldon Keith is dismissed from the Toronto Maple Leafs, isn't the LA roster exactly the type of team that would do the things he wants the Leafs to do?
If Dubas minus doesn't hire PLD. Him first.
Well, there's not a head coaching vacancy in Pittsburgh, and I don't think he's going to Pittsburgh to be an assistant.
Well, yeah.
You know who is, though? One day Paxtall.
Oh, God, no. God.
He did hire, Dubois did hire him for the bench in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
And I think, why? We don't care about Pittsburgh.
I care about Pittsburgh. It's the team I'm following sorry. Right now.
just call me IMAX because I'm projecting at a massive size. I don't care about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, all right. I can respect that. Yeah, that's fine.
I will sympathize with you, Cassie. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Okay.
It's like my boss said to me the other day. He says, I am sorry, but I won't feel sorry for what you're having to deal with. it's like, I'm sorry I put you there, but I can't feel sorry that you're there. Yeah,
you still have to do it.
No, Pat, I don't think so.
I know. I'm galaxy braining it a little.
And I'm not invalidating the supposition. I don't know as if Sheldon Keefe. See, this is tough for me. I don't know as he's going to get another head coaching job right away.
For his own sake, he needs to take a year off. Should he be dismissed?
I mean, if his contract goes beyond this year anyway, and they dismiss him, I would do that if I were him. Sit back, get paid, you know.
And I believe he got a 1-year extension coming into the year to avoid the whole.
Oh, the whole contract discussion with the team. Okay.
Which, you know, only becomes a thing in Canadian markets or with Canadian press.
Wait,
like everyone else is okay.
When did he sign the extension?
A couple months after Brad Tree Living was hired.
Because yeah, there's this nice trend going around of NHL head coaches having been extended but getting fired before their extension kicks in.
Oh, this has nothing to do with him being dismissed. This is just, how long does he want to sit on his hands?
Right.
So.
Yeah, if I had that deal and I got canned from Toronto, I would probably take a year off. Take my
Actually,
salary.
He has 2 years.
Even better.
I'd so he could take one off.
Yeah, I'd at least take one off. And evaluate the landscape and, you know, enjoy some time with the family and maybe coach the kids and
or coach in the else. Spangler Cup or world championships just to stay involved.
Yeah. And I wish I was a hockey head coach where I could take off a year and it wouldn't like damage my rehire value.
Well, in some cases, it actually helps your rehire value.
Oh, I know. But like in the real world,
And this is why they are just relieved of their duties. They're still getting paid. They are still under contract. They're
guaranteed.
They're technically employed.
Guaranteed contracts for coaches are a fun thing. Because, you know, I keep asking, where the hell is Claude Julien? Well, nobody, you know, for the longest time, is nobody wanted to pay what he was asking. And, you know, the salaries are starting to, the coaching salaries are starting to get a bit hinky. So, you know, I mean, it was funny that he was at the Boston game and they kept showing him like, is he emerging from his cocoon now that I think his deal's done? Because he's been getting paid by Boston for at least 3 years after he was fired, and it may have been more.
And then who knows how much longer Montreal was paying him.
Oh, yeah. Well, they, if he was hired after Montreal, they would have split that extended contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the way it works is the two teams negotiate how much of the salary he was currently getting paid is owned by the hiring team, and then his contract is up, then the firing team is no longer on the hook for the remainder of it. And that's when I think they extended Julien to some, you know, ridiculous term and then proceeded to can him. And then he's like, thank you. I got, you know, I got a 3-year vacation fully paid it. I think it was $5 million a year. Yeah, I'm taking that. Sounds like a sabbatical from Microsoft. The exec level. Oh, I'm stressed out. Well, here, take a, take 3 or 4 years off. You'll get your full salary. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Where have you gone, Claude Julien? The LA Kings need you more than you will know. Oh, oh, oh. There's the coach, Pat. There's the coach for that roster.
But his stuff is in Massachusetts and New Jersey.
And Montreal.
But there's a beach and it doesn't get cold. You do have to put up with stupid traffic and like air pollution. But other than that, there's the beach and it doesn't get cold. And there's lots of golf courses.
You're an NHL coach. What do you have to deal with traffic?
You still have to get to like, this is,
yeah, but you're,
this
you're
is LA around. Though. This is LA. I know. Where
you're leaving the building at 3 a.m.
There's still peaks and valleys, Cassie.
No, I know, but not during the day so much. You still have to get to the rink for practice.
Yeah, but the rink's in El Segundo. Practice rink's in El Segundo. That's easy to get to. Listen to us. We have now moved off of Western Washington geography to LA traffic patterns. Oh, and there was much rejoicing. Hey. Who is the next coach to be fired?
Well, Andrew Brunette was named a finalist for the Jack Adams, and last time that happened, it didn't go well. But no, it won't be him.
Maybe we leave that for homework for the class. I think I'm safe in saying that the three of us would be in agreement that if Toronto loses, Keefe's gone.
Yeah.
That is safe.
Yeah, but does anything happen between now and tomorrow or Monday?
Well, I'm presupposing, you know. Most of the coaches that are going to get let go are going to get let go immediately at the end of the season.
So, but here's the question.
The season is done.
We are at game 7, which It's a coin flip. It's essentially a coin flip. Unless one team comes out like mentally unprepared, the game is a coin flip. So in the event that Toronto actually wins, then does Sweeney go? Because they were up, weren't they up like three games to one or something?
Just like they were last year.
Exactly. Yeah. They will be the first team, I think, in NHL history to blow back-to-back 3-1 series leads.
Yeah. So does he go instead of... I mean, okay, so let me rephrase this. So does the loser of the just looked at the word Montreal, it just came out my mouth.
And loss. They go hand in hand. This decade.
Does the loser of the Boston-Toronto series fire their coach after it's over? Is it one and the same, or is it they're extenuating circumstances for each?
Toronto fires theirs.
Yeah, I don't think Boston fires Montgomery. I think he's actually done more with less.
I do think, to your point, Cassie, though, that the GM's on the hook in Boston, but not Toronto.
Because this will be... Did Sweeney inherit Julian?
I believe so, yes. So it should be.
Would be coach number three.
Yeah.
Julian, Cassidy, then Montgomery. I think Montgomery's done well. I just think it's a roster that hasn't properly refilled a lot of the positions that they need help with. Primarily first and second line centers.
Now, this is funny because, you know, it's almost like they might be the inverse of each other. If Toronto loses, I think the head coach goes, and I think Shanahan might be on the hook. If Boston goes, I think their president and their coach stay, but their GM goes. They really are like a little puzzle piece together, aren't they? They just fit so well.
It's adorable.
And there are apparently rumblings that Austin Matthews will be playing tonight.
When did these start? Because
about an hour ago.
Interesting.
So I
figured they were throwing cold water on it, so it'd be a bigger surprise come warm up.
So is it injury or is it illness? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They, like I said, they were actually a better team without him.
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, actually. I kind of think that, and I've been thinking this for a long time. It's not just recent. I've been thinking this for literally years. Is that Pittsburgh would do better overall if they got rid of either Malkin or Crosby and left the other one there. Because the team does better when there's just one of them in the lineup.
Because everyone knows that they have to pull on the rope just as hard as everyone else and not let it be.
And not let those guys just carry everything.
Do everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not letting, Carey Price just carry you as far as he can. And you just do whatever. And I will say, I don't think Matthews was the reason they lost the other three games. I mean, I'm still missing number 16 in the blue and white. I mean, I've seen some blurs, but...
Eh. Oh, yeah. They are really keeping it mum. So there are... No, he's not. He's unlikely. I'm hearing rumors. He's been spotted. type thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he's in Boston, people. He traveled with the team.
With the team. Yeah, exactly.
Of course he did.
No, but spotted like on the ice. So we'll see. I'm just here for the chaos.
So to go back to your previous question on the next coach fired, can I say Lindy Ruff?
Yeah, I think anyone between now and then, huh? Does he get fired before?
I'm not going to count Jim Hiller and Travis Green, the two current interims. And I guess the guy in St. Louis as well.
Oh, no, but they hired
Wah has a contract, I believe.
Yeah, they hired him.
Oh, no, Lou already came out and said that Wah's back. They had a press conference yesterday and everything, and Patrick Wah's still clean shaven.
But he has that nice sunburn look going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, he was red in the face that whole series.
Yeah, well,
you
had
to
get
up and
see a cardiologist.
You'd be mad too. But Lindy Ruff
in Buffalo. Are we talking before the start of the season?
Oh, no. No. I think all the full time positions could conceivably come back, including Sheldon Keith. That's the first name to go down.
They're going to do everything to not blame the players.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they're going to, they've got too much love affair. And yeah,
the president has the love affair. What happens when, like you suggested, if Shanahan is gone, what changes happen then?
Tune in and find out next week on 3v3 Podcast. This has been the 3v3 Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at 3v3 Podcast. We're available for NHL consulting at reasonable fees.